Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a word as we get started, before we go to your calls, I want to mention that what we do here at the Christian Research Institute is we prepare people's hearts. We give them the resources so that they can be effective tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit. But a common mistake derives from the notion that someone can be talked into the kingdom of God. We can't do that. The motivation may be sincere, but the consequences sometimes are devastating. No matter how eloquent you might or might not be, you can't change anyone's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So while it is your responsibility to always be prepared to give an answer, it is only God who ultimately can change the heart. The problem, of course, is not that people cannot believe. It is that people will not believe. In other words, it's often not a matter of the mind, it's a matter of the will. And that is why we say a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. The Christian faith is reasonable, but reason alone will not compel a person to embrace Jesus Christ. I'm utterly convinced that if we are prepared, however, to give an answer, God will bring into our paths those whose hearts He has sovereignly prepared. And so it is our responsibility to prepare ourselves to be the most effective tools in the hands of Almighty God. And that is what we are doing through the Christian Research Institute. We are developing those discernment skills, becoming so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, we know it instantaneously, and then using our well-reasoned answer as an opportunity to share the truth. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Julie. She's listening in Georgia. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and I want to thank you and the staff at CRI for your service to the body of Christ. You've been very instrumental in my life many times over the years.
Oh, bless you.
I have a question about attending two different churches weekly. My daughter attends a church service on Saturday evenings, and then she attends church with us Sunday morning. And the church that our family goes to on Sunday morning is small, and it's a new church. And the pastor there has kind of given an ultimatum saying she needs to choose where she's going to go to church because she cannot go to two churches and attend his church.
Well, wow, that's pretty radical. I mean, I think it is true that we need to identify with a fellowship of believers. I think that's absolutely correct. But, I mean, what an incredible blessing that your daughter wants to go to church such that she's attending two churches. She's part of one church and also fellowshipping with another church. I don't see a problem with that. I would think that that would be a great blessing that she's that spiritually hungry and motivated to be in the house of God. But having said that, again, I think it is important to identify with a body of believers, but I don't see this as a problem. I see it as a promise.
Okay, well, that's kind of what we thought, but we're kind of put in a predicament with him and didn't want to split up our family. And
yeah, I mean, I think what's important is that she does become a vital reproducing member in a church and that she considers that to be her church, but to attend other services as well, to be nurtured or blessed or edified, I mean, I don't see what could possibly be wrong with that.
Okay, all right. Well, that's very helpful.
Thank you for your call, Julie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you and your daughter. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron next in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. Actually, I'm dealing with the same thing on my end. I don't attend just one church myself, and I'm dealing with that same issue with my family. But the question I had was, you know, because I'm going to so many different churches, and I read the Word of God a lot, you know, and, you know, consistently, is all of the churches don't, you know, look at the Ten Commandments as, you know, some of them believe that it's void now. And, you know, one church in particular is saying that it's talking about the fourth commandment in general. And I was trying to get your opinion on all of this.
Well, I think you have to look at what the law is designed to do. First and foremost, it is designed to maintain order in society. But from a spiritual standpoint, there's much more in that it reveals sin. It becomes the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ. And, of course, it also is a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. So, on the one hand, it is right to say that the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and therefore they're abrogated. In other words, you don't have to worry about dietary laws. If you eat shellfish, it's not an abomination. Jesus says it's not what goes into your mouth and out through your body that defiles you, as that which proceeds from the heart. But in saying that, we should not ever neglect the moral aspects of the law as delineated in the Ten Commandments. So while the New Testament emphasis is on grace, the law remains a guide for living out the Christian life. I'm not talking about legalism, but I am talking about the law. And that law ultimately is fulfilled in the fourth commandment in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. So we continue to honor the Lord by an emphasis on rest for one day, work for 6 days, because in Jesus Christ we have our Sabbath rest. He is the one that fulfills all the types and shadows. Therefore, we see, on the one hand, that we shouldn't be slavishly bound to Sabbatarian laws, such that if you light a fire, someone has to kill you or stone you to death. But on the other hand, you recognize that that law points to something, Jesus Christ, who is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows, and that the law yet becomes moral parameter for us to live out the Christian life in a way that is pleasing to our Savior.
Okay. That's good, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I pray on all of the things that I hear and, you know, I read so that I can get understanding. And understanding that I got was that Jesus was the law, basically, in so many words, you know, not to make this a long conversation, but, you know, and that he was nailed to the cross.
Well, it is true that we're no longer subject to legalistic prescriptions. And that's why I say the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law, the civil aspect, which was largely a function of a theocracy, and the ceremonial aspects of the law, they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to continue with the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law. Jesus Christ has kept the law for us. But remember, Jesus Christ said, "I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them." So he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He did what we could not do. But that does not negate the fact that there are moral aspects of the law that are just as efficacious today as they were in the time of Moses. For example, thou shalt not murder. That's something that we should obey today just as it should have been obeyed in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That is yet efficacious today. Honor your father and mother. That's something that we should continue to do. So the law is still a guide for living out the Christian life.
Right. Okay. That's very helpful. I was just trying to get a clearer picture because, you know, personally, like I told my mom, you know, she was explaining to me what I go to her church also. What our preacher said, and he said, you can choose any day as your Sabbath, and you know. But at the same time, it just seems strange that she, you know, gets on me about changing, you know, my Sabbath consistently to help her do this or help her do that. And I'm like, you know, then I'm not really, I'm trying to do my best, you know, with God's help, you know, and it's not, I'm not really, it's like saying, okay, lie this time for me, you know, or, you know, go ahead and, you know, covet a little bit, you know, this time because I need you to help me get a job or whatever the case may be. And it's almost as if, you know, I'm just being subtly forced to sin.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's good that you have a conscience there. Remember the words that you alluded to are in Scripture. Don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God.
To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Jim. He's listening in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Jim.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I was wondering about your point of view, your opinion, about Israel existing today and the right of the present-day Jews to occupy that land.
Well, I have no problem for that whatsoever. I've never expressed a problem with that. My problem is always righteousness and justice and equity, and therefore I don't think that we should stand lockstep with anyone who's involved in atrocities, whether in America or Germany or Israel or Iran. We should not be pro-Jew. We should be pro-justice. We should not be pro-Palestinian. We should be pro-peace. We are called to be the arbiters of God's justice, love, and righteousness, and those who are ambassadors who are communicating the gospel.
I'm interrupting, but if I might focus, because I don't mean in any way to be accusatory or belligerent, but and perhaps I misunderstood. That's what prompted my call. But I understand the eloquence and the diatribe you just issued, and that's absolutely correct. I do agree with that. But focusing on my question is, do you feel that modern-day Israel does belong to the modern-day Jews, and they have a right to live in the land of Israel, and it does belong to them? And I'm not picking a fight. And
well, how does it belong to them? I'm trying to understand what you're saying. How does it belong to them? In what way?
Well, do you believe that these are the Israelites, the Jews, and do you believe that God gave it to them?
Well, I don't know what the question is communicating. I mean, if you think that that land belongs to Israel, do you believe in the Old Testament edict that all the land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates belongs to Israel?
Well, that's a fine technique to reverse my question.
No, I think this is a very important question for me to answer your question. I'm asking if, in fact, you believe in the Old Testament boundaries, do you believe that the northern part of Saudi Arabia and Lebanon and part of Jordan and Iraq belong to Israel?
I have to, with a fair, honest answer, and I'll be courteous enough to respond to yours first. My impression is that God never changes. And what God said, whatever he said, is the truth of God, and that is what ought to be followed. Yes, sir. If it's in the Bible, yes, sir, I believe that.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, so you agree with my point of view. I mean, this is the quintessential point of understanding for John as well as the rest of the disciples. I mean, previously they had been under misconceptions, like the misconceptions of modern-day Christian Zionists. They had expected Jesus to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire. In fact, that notion was so ingrained in their psyches that even as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, Jesus not only corrected this erroneous thinking, but expanded their horizons from a tiny strip of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea to the farthest reaches of the world. Remember, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In effect, Jesus left his disciples with instructions to exit Jerusalem, to embrace the earth, and never again entertain the thought of establishing an earthly Jerusalem. So I think what's important to recognize is that God's plan became a tangible reality with respect to physical land when Joshua led the children of Israel into Palestine. And Joshua, in fact, exuded, not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave to you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. And of course, those promises reached their zenith under Solomon, and that's why I mentioned the river Euphrates and the river of Egypt. But what happened? Ultimately, the land vomited out the children of the promise just as it has vomited out the Canaanites before them. So God's promise to Abraham was a preliminary phase in a promise that ultimately would extend to a royal seed, Jesus Christ, because Abraham was not just the father of a nation, but Abram became Abraham, father of many nations. And Abraham, therefore, would be heir of the world, and the climax of the promise would not be Palestine regained, but paradise restored. In Christ, the last Adam, God's promise finds ultimate fulfillment. So if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. And of course, Peter finally recognizes this as well. There's a time in which he was very deluded on this point. And so God sends him a vision. And it's a vision of unclean food. He experiences the vision in Joppa. And only after he encountered Cornelius did he comprehend the import of the vision. And then he said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So my point is, race is of no consequence to Jesus Christ, nor is real estate. And Jesus oriented the thinking of his disciples, therefore, from a restored Jewish state to a kingdom that knows no borders or boundaries. He said, my kingdom, before Pilate, is not of this world. And that's why the writer of Hebrews makes clear that the rest the descendants of Abraham experienced when they entered the land is but a type of the rest we experience when we enter an eternal relationship with the Lord. The land provided temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham. The Lord provides eternal rest for the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And do remember this, that the Israelites as a nation, and again, this is not a nation of race, but people gathered together around types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ, and therefore Rahab, a Canaanite, was true Israel. Ruth, a Moabite, was true Israel. Those that left Egypt with Israel was true Israel. They were gathered around types and shadows pointing ultimately to Jesus Christ. So what is going on here is significant to recognize, and that is that true Israel has always been people gathered together in belief of Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament through types and shadows, in the New through the reality, the coming of Jesus Christ on the cross. So I think it's wonderful that you understand that Canaan is the typological of a renewed cosmos. Abraham was anything but a Zionist, like Isaac and Jacob. He viewed living in the promised land in the same way that a stranger would view living in a foreign country. Because as the writer of Hebrews makes plain, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And remember, the Israelites were cast out of the land for a reason. They had become harlots. That's the imagery of the Old Testament prophets, graphic imagery in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, for example. So they were exiled from the land. Because what God said to them is, if you follow the abominable ways of the pagan nations that were in that land before you were in the land, that land is going to vomit you out just as it vomited them out. So if they were exiled in unbelief, why in the world would God bring them back in the land in unbelief? The point, obviously, is not that Israel can't exist for geopolitical reasons, and we may be very happy that there's a democracy in the Middle East, and you may make all kinds of good political and geo-socioeconomic reasoning for why Israel should exist, and I don't deny any of that. But the idea that somehow or other they have a right to the land and therefore they can do whatever they want or be involved in things that are displeasing to God or just in terms of natural justice and equity and righteousness? Of course not. None of us can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. People can't do that. Nations can't do that. And they certainly can't do that and say, well, you know, God gave us the title deed. We are the sons of Abraham. Jesus said, out of these rocks, out of these stones, I can make sons of Abraham. And there are those who say they're Jews, but they're not Jews. They're a synagogue of Satan. True Israel is always those gathered around the royal seat of Abraham. And Galatians makes that clear. Galatians says Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.